I didn't make New Year's resolutions this year, but I did give myself a vague personal goal for 2017. My goal this year is to take care of the books in my to-read pile. Now, this is a bit ambitious because if you go into my office, you'll notice my to-read pile is stacked as a book version of a 2-foot-tall Christmas tree. I put the thick and heavy books on the bottom, use the smaller books to spiral upwards into a tree shape, and then wrapped Christmas lights all around it. I also put this book tree in an obvious spot so I'd see it every day. I'm trying to make this book tree smaller, but it's hard finding time to read. Now, as a pastor, I read a lot. I'm always looking at some articles or commentaries or magazines to prepare for sermons or committee meetings, or just to learn something new about the church and about the world. I'm always reading something. So when I'm home at night, I usually don't want to read anything else. But I'm committed to my goal, so I'm trying to make time to read. And so far, my available reading time is at bedtime. It's after I settle in for the night when I finally pick up a book. And this process has been kind of successful. This week, I started a new book, a book that I'm really excited about. It's by Paul Friedman, and it's called The 10 Restaurants That Changed America. This book traces almost 200 years of restaurants, from Delmonico's in New York City, which opened in 1834 and invented the whole going out to dinner thing, to Sylvia's in Harlem, which has a lovely gospel brunch on Sundays, and some mighty fine southern fixins. I love going out to eat, and I know I'm not alone. In January 2015, the Census Bureau reported that Americans spent more at restaurants than at grocery stores for the first time. So I really want to read this book. And I've spent every night this week picking up that book. And I've made it as far as page 17. I keep falling asleep, sometimes using the open book as an uncomfortable pillow. And I know if I was reading this book at a different time of day, I would experience the text differently. If I was, maybe awake or more alert, I would enjoy this book more. Sometimes to fully appreciate what we're reading or hearing, we need to come at it from a new angle. We need to change what we're doing or modify our perspective to see what's really going on. And today's reading from the Gospel of John is one of those texts, I think, that asks us to come at Jesus in a slightly different way. Now, John chapter 3 is a famous piece of scripture. This is where the phrase "born again" comes from, which our translation expands a bit by saying "born from above." We might sometimes see John 3:3 or John 3:16, just the book and verse numbers, printed on yard signs, t-shirts, or painted in gold under Tim Tebow's eyelids. We might have never read the Gospel according to John, but if we hang out in the church for a while, John 3:16 and John 3:3 pop up often. And we sometimes use John chapter 3 so much that we end up pulling Jesus' words out of context. It can feel as if this chapter is meant to stand on its own, distinct from the wider gospel and the Bible itself. When Jesus' words are pulled out from where we actually find them. John chapter 3 makes Jesus sound more professor-like, more authoritative, more like he's a person standing above others, lecturing down at them. If we, while listening to Jesus today, forgot that Nicodemus is in the room, we're not seeing Jesus in the fullest possible way. Scripture reminds us that Jesus' words come from somewhere, and that there's more here than just Jesus speaking to us. We need to keep Jesus rooted in Scripture so that we can see how big, wild, and mysterious faith can be. So when we let Jesus' words live in the room where the story happens, we find Jesus, possibly alone, and awake in the middle of the night. Nicodemus, a local religious and political leader, decides that right now is a good time to see Jesus. Now, Nicodemus could have come during the day. He could have knocked on the door when others would have seen him. But Nicodemus comes in the shadow of the night, carrying all his personal darkness with him. Jesus could have kicked him out or pretended he's not home when Nicodemus knocked on the door. But that's not Jesus' style. Jesus lets Nicodemus be Nicodemus, because Jesus is going to be Jesus. Jesus lets Nicodemus come as he is, because all of Nicodemus, his fears, his joys, his concerns, his hopes, and his expectations, all of that matters to Jesus. And I think Scripture shows us how Jesus cares about who we are as we are right now, because of something Jesus doesn't do. He doesn't speak first. Instead, he listens. He lets Nicodemus have the first word. Nicodemus breaks the ice, so everything that follows is Jesus' response. Jesus is taking time to listen, to engage, to get to know Nicodemus. And Jesus doesn't talk down to him here. I don't imagine that Jesus is lecturing. Instead, Jesus shares what God is going to do. God is listening to our reality, and God is responding to it. God is going to make the future different, because that's just who God is. So when I listen to these words in John chapter 3, I hear two people talking face to face. I see God deciding to engage one-on-one with each of us. Jesus could have talked down to Nicodemus. He could have done some kind of sign to make Nicodemus stop asking questions. But instead, Jesus chose to listen. He showed hospitality to the one who came to him in the middle of the night. Jesus decided to form a relationship with Nicodemus that required time, patience, and space for questions. And then Jesus let the gift and mystery of faith take its time with Nicodemus. We never hear in Scripture what Nicodemus says to Jesus' final response. In the pages of John, Nicodemus never speaks to Jesus again. But his walk with Jesus doesn't end here. In chapter 7, he stands up for Jesus when some authorities want to condemn him without a trial. And in chapter 19, he joins with Joseph of Arimathea to bury Jesus in the tomb. In the years between his first meeting with Jesus and his last at the tomb, we never hear Nicodemus's full faith story. We never hear why he's there at the tomb when everyone else had fled. We don't hear how his faith come about, but we do see where his faith eventually leads him to. One of the mysteries of faith is that we don't know how to make faith happen in others. We don't know what words to say or actions to take to help those around us see Jesus. And we don't always get to see how and when faith finally happens in other people. But it's not our job to make faith. It's our job to share it. We see in John 3 a model of our own Christian calling. We're to meet people where they are and listen before we speak. We're to show hospitality to even strangers and form a relationship of love, care, and hope. We can't make faith happen in others, but we can share ours. We can make our faith less of a thing we have and let it be a gift we get to share. In other words, in all that we do, in all that we say, and no matter what goals we set for ourselves, we're here to just give Jesus. Amen.